I mean, we talk a lot about accountability in our organization, and it starts with me. You guys asked me to be here and answer questions, so that's what I'll do. If you're looking for me to be panicking or overreacting because of the last few games, that's not my style, but happy to answer questions.
Kevin, you've got 11 wins in 26 games. You're 12th in the East. You're 23rd in the league right now. You're coming off. You're 3 days removed from one of the most disgraceful losses in the history of the franchise. Why is your team so mentally fragile? And what are you going to do about changing the composition of this mix?
Yeah, I think the Colorado game is it's tough. You know, that's one of those games that, you know, the wins and losses at the end of the day all count the same, but those ones hurt. And there's a lot of reasons, I think, as you watch the video and you go back, that, you know, we unraveled, and we need to learn from that and be better. You know, I think if I'm looking to the positives of, you bring in Lindy, new system, we're 26 games into the year. You know, some of the stuff that I look at trying to judge our team, there's some positives there and reasons to believe that we're going to take some steps, which we need to. We're not happy with where we are. We need to get better. But, you know, you look at, you know, even strength, expected goals for, goals against, we're right where you want to be, you know, to be a playoff team. You know, we're surrounded, I think it's Jersey, Dallas, LA, maybe. There's just good teams in that mix right with us. So there's some things that I look at when you try to step back and zoom out and take some of the emotion out that are positive signs.
Whether it's the Islanders loss or the Colorado loss, or honestly just some of these games where you see the lapses, the extended lapses, your most experienced forwards are typically not the ones that are sort of unraveling in these moments. It's your younger guys who are kind of repeating the same mistakes, turning the puck over in the neutral zone, and really just not following the game plan that Lindy presents to them on a night in and night out basis. So what's your level of concern about just the waves, those, you know, kind of the roller coaster that group is kind of going through right now? And does it make you sort of reconsider how you're going to handle younger players and promoting them to the NHL in the future, since it's not easy to win this league, and, you know, development's not linear, especially when you're doing it up at this level?
Well, you just answered your own question. I mean, development is not linear. There's ups and downs. And you have to understand that when you're building your team, that you're going to go through that when you have young players in the lineup. And, you know, I'm a firm believer there's no better way to learn than to go through it and experience things. And, you know, I mean, you can use Kulik on a 2-on-1 last night. You know, he's a shooter, and yeah, I think he shoots the puck there. He scores more often than he doesn't. And, you know, that's just the learning part. So you live with those things. But, no, you have to go through it. You have to get better. We're 26 games in, and you're going to have ups and downs. And you look at where we are, you know, you think about probably from the, I don't know, wherever, the Rangers all the way towards the bottom of the Eastern. All these teams are really tight, going through similar things, good stretches, bad stretches, within games, good stretches, bad stretches. And our job, you know, as management staff or the coaching staff, is to clean up some of these things, get more consistent, and find ways that you come out of games with 2 points. You know, you look at last night, did a lot of good things. I'm not sure we gave up a scoring chance in the third period, or at least a grade A scoring chance. You have 3 2-on-1s in overtime, we don't capitalize, and they go down the other end and do. So we need to get better.
Instead of young players,
a big picture type of a thing for your core group, I'm looking at like two full years and a quarter of this season. When you look at the whole picture of what they've done and how they've performed, do you look at it at all and say, I might have to make some changes in the core group that you have set? Just looking at everything they've done from 2 years ago, where many of them had career years, to last year to this year.
You're talking about just in general,
your
not
core,
like just
young
a
core
young core
that you've locked up, many of them. And
yeah,
when you look at that group, well, what are your thoughts? And are your thoughts maybe you might have to change something?
Well, you're always evaluating. I mean, you're always looking at every possible scenario to improve your team. And like, I think I'm pretty consistent with how I've said to you guys that nothing should be off the table. We should be in every conversation, which we are. and evaluating, is there ways to help your team improve? And if there are, then we'll attack it. I mean, you look at, I think just philosophically, Paul, how, you know, set out to build this franchise is you have to draft and you have to develop well. And we're in that process. And when development sometimes means some rough times, like we've talked about, you know, with Lance's question. But I truly believe if you draft well, you develop well, you work through some of the growing pains, and you can get a team in a good spot with the people that you've kind of brought up through your system, it gives you an advantage. And then you round it out. I mean, you look with trades, you look to see if there's ways to help your roster, supplement your roster. I mean, I think you look at our roster right now with Byram, Greenway, Tuck, Krebs, Malenstein, well, there's probably another one or two, I'm forgetting, McLeod. Those are all guys that we traded for that come in and, you know, play roles on your team. So you're trying to add to that group. And, you know, I mean, honestly, Paul, like, this is not a time, we're not a destination city right now where you're going to be able to go out and get UFAs that are the key guys. And I just don't think that's the way to build a sustainable winner. So you evaluate your core, you look for trades that you can have players that can grow with you and add to your team. If there's UFAs that you can add that make sense, that work, of course you're going to be open to doing that. So that's what we're in the process of. But to circle back, yeah, you always look at everything, and if there's ways to improve, we'll do it.
So 2016, some of those younger, you know, players, your average age is still the youngest in the league, and it's hard to go back and find teams that have an average age under 26 and make the playoffs. So how do you square that roster building strategy with the idea that you're trying to win now, as you said?
Yeah, well, you should have signed Craig Anderson and he's 40, and then it would have added a year and then you wouldn't answer the question.
Six players that are, what, 23 and under?
Yeah, and that's exactly what I told you. When you're going to make a decision to build a franchise, sustainable success over year after year, you're going to have to go young. And you're going to have to give players the opportunity to, you know, battle through some of the ups and downs. I believe our roster is talented. We should be a team that is competing and in the playoffs. I've said that since the summer. I truly believe that. And in saying that, you're going to have, when you have a young roster, you're going to have mistakes. And we have a new coach that's putting in certain types of intricacies into the system. We're 26 games in. So that's why I said in the beginning, you know, I'm not happy with where we're at, but we're not going to panic. We're not going to overreact. We're not going to make a knee-jerk decision or reactionary trade that, you know, sets you back. We have to look at things that we think are going to improve our team, and we'll act on it.
So 26 games into the season.
Fan base.
Let's go with Bill, please.
Yeah, let Bill eat.
So 26 games, more than a quarter into the season. What has been Lindy's impact? What has he changed? What's different?
Well, I do think there's accountability is such a, it's such a hard word to, like, frame for you guys, because you don't see it behind the scenes. You know, you don't see the subtle meetings, or you don't know about a late night phone call that Lindy has with a player after a game, that those are just impactful. His experience, when to maybe not practice versus practice, and, you know, just all those types of things. I think there's been a huge impact. And like I said, I mean, to win in this league, like, in really win in this league, you have to be defensively sound. You have to play with structure. You have to be, like, able to play and find ways to get points when you maybe don't have your energy or, you know, your A game, so to speak. So those are all the things I think Lindy's done a really good job of. But like I said, it is a process, you know, and their coaches are working through that right now with our players, and there's a little bit of learning curve that I think our team's going through. But I think they would all stand up here and say that we need to take a step for sure.
After a loss like Tuesday night, what do you say to a fan base that's sick of hearing about learning and development and growing, and they want to make the playoffs now? What do you say to those fans?
Yeah, and I'd say I understand, but I also say you don't make the playoffs in December 6th. You know, you need 82 games. And, hey, I was told, you're, I'm going to be honest with you guys, that was a tough loss, and that loss hurt. And I promise you that it bothers me and the coaches and the players more than anyone. So, but it's one game. You have to go back over the video. You have to talk about it. You have to own it, and you have to move on to the next one. And that's why I do think, I know we got 1 point instead of two last night, but I think it was a good sign out of our team that we didn't carry that game over into the next game. That's a sign of growth for me.
Kevin, we've seen Dahlin's growth curve over the years. Now we're watching Owen Power, a number one pick. You gave an $8 million a year contract to now. And even though he's 22 years old, he's on a different plane of attention and focus. And how do you get him in the defensive zone to play defense, to guard the front of the net, to actually use his size and be aggressive and not just stand there and do nothing, which we see over and over and over again?
You see some of the good things too?
I see a lot of the good things offensively, for sure. His offensive numbers are near the top of the league in certain areas, but he's a defenseman you paid $8 million to.
So the guy, like, you have to look at the whole body of work, Mike. You know, like, I'm sure you're referring to the goal against the Islanders where, you know, the guy slips in and the redirect, and you're the bet and the game-winning goal against Colorado where,
yeah,
like, those are obvious. And, of course, he's a work in progress. I would tell you that I think Owen played just under 30 minutes last night, and was, I thought he competed hard last night and did a lot of good things, and you could see him looking to engage physically. When we drafted Owen Power, we knew he was not bringing Scott Stevens, like, that's not his style. But do we want him to become more physically imposing and harder to play against? Yes. And I think that's there's a daily work that's going in right now with the coaches and Owen to do that. And he wants to do that. Like, he wants to get better. And that's, to me, I've said this to you guys before, that I want players that show up every day and want to get better and find ways. And he is that guy. And in terms of his contract, look, I mean, there'd be 31 other teams would be lining up to have him on their team. I promise you that.
Kevin, when you say that this is not a destination city, I understand where you're coming from with that. When it comes to players who are UFA or players who maybe have, you're pursuing in a trade that may have Buffalo on a list that they don't want to go to, how do you break through to them or to their agents to say, listen, this is where success can happen for you?
You have to earn it. I mean, look, this for me, it's really simple. You become a perennial playoff team. You make the playoffs. You have a chance to win Stanley Cup year after year. You are on less teams, no trade list. We don't have palm trees. We have taxes in New York. Those are real. And those are things you deal with. But and trust me, I'm in conversations every day, and there's a lot of players in this league that were on their list. So we need to earn the respect, and it starts with getting over the hump, getting in the playoffs, competing. And once you do that, I mean, look at the Bills. I mean, that would be a perfect example. I would, you know, assume that this wasn't a destination or a place that a lot of people were signing up to when they were in a 17-year playoff drought. And they've done a phenomenal job over there. You get Josh Allen, and people are lining up because they have a chance to win the Super Bowl every year. And I think that's what we're working to build here.
Kevin, what about the start that Jack Quinn has had to the season? Sort of an underwhelming start, given especially what he was able to do last year with that smaller amount of games played. What have you seen from him, and maybe what are you hoping to see, you know, as you guys sort of enter the rest of the season?
Yeah, I think Jack is, I think he admittedly would say that he's hard on himself. He's not performing to the level that he expects, that we expect. But it's not going to be because he doesn't put the work in. Like I said, I think sometimes, especially with younger players, not that Jack's young per se anymore, but still finding his way in the league, you have ups and downs. But you have to work with him. You have to just help him find ways to improve. I think the coaches have done some extra things through video, get him in the weight room, and just stuff like that. But I believe in him, and you know, we're going to help him.
About cap space quite a few times since the season began. I remember you mentioning in September that you're going to spend what you think it takes to win. You've got around $8 million right now, and this is the 1 year when the buyout of Jeff Skinner, you've got a little bit more runway here. Based on what you've seen through 25 or so games, do you I know you're not going to help yourself in trade negotiations by announcing it to us, but I'm just wondering, do you feel a greater sense of urgency to use, and it's almost 10% of the cap that you have available to you at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I think the answer is yes, except, like, it's not in a vacuum, though, Lance. Like, you have to look at past this year when you're putting your roster together, and the cap, I think I've clearly explained before, has never been something that I'm as focused on as all of you or the fans. We're trying to build our roster out that we're able year after year to compete. And if you go add an $8 million player that's got 5 years left on his contract, what does that do for the next round of guys? And that's what my job is, to make sure we're positioning ourselves not only today but into the future. So if there's players out there we think that it will help us today, that also keeping the long-term view in mind, we'll act on it.
But you already know you're not paying big money to Quinn or Levi now, and in July that might have been a question. You know that now, that they're not getting big money deals after this season.
Hey, I'm glad. I wish you were their agent.
You know, I mean, but the whole world knows that just by watching the games. So, I mean, and you're right, you have to take the long-term view, but we're talking about this year. I mean, you cannot go 14 years out of the playoffs. I mean, teams make it just out of dumb luck. I mean, I understand you're probably doing consistent trade talks with teams, and I know the Trouba rumors are out there right now. He might be on the team tomorrow, for all we know. The question, I think, is simply, why isn't there another Jason Zucker-type one-year veteran kind of acquisition being made? Not a guy with 5 years left on his deal. You've got the room on the cap this year where you can still deal with future years.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I'd have to go into specifics, which is tricky in these situations. But if you go back to the summer, there were a short list of UFA guys that, you know, we had targeted, and fortunately we were able to get Zucker because I think he's really stepped in and been a stabilizing player and been a good leader and mentor and played well on the ice. There were other guys pursued. Chose other places. That's what happens in the UFA market. And in terms of trades, I mean, there was, in my mind, a trade that we worked really hard at this summer that we went all in on. You guys probably would have roasted me, said we were going to overpay to get the player, and they ended up not trading him, and he's still on that team. So it's not from lack of want, but we're not going to go, Mike, and just make a trade so you guys can say we've spent to the cap if we don't think it makes sense for now and into the future. And that's just, you just can't operate like that.
So is it true, did you have Martin Natchez and he refused to sign an extension?
Yeah, I mean, I can't talk about our players and other teams.
I know you said you're always reevaluating, but do you feel like, you know, going back to the summer, you said the time is now. You brought Lindy in, and that was like the big emphasis, that the time is now. Do you still feel like you're putting this team in the best position possible to then break the drought at the end of the season?
Yeah, it's a fair question. I say the time is now because I believe in the people in this room, and I believe in the coaching staff. And are we where we want to be right now? No. We're 26 games in. We'll continue to look at every possible scenario if there's a way to add to our team. But look, I'm going to go to war with these guys, and I will not change. I will not back down from that. I believe in the people in our room, and I wouldn't say that if I didn't know the opportunity we have. I know what it takes to win a Stanley Cup in this league. I do. And it's not easy, and you have to be really diligent with the decisions you make, and you have to put your team in the best position, which we're going to continue to talk about and debate, and you're going to work at things, and certain things unfortunately don't end up working out, and certain other opportunities and doors do, and they will open. So we'll stay on top of that. But do I believe in this team, and do I believe we're going to be a team that takes a step here? I do.
Believe in the coaching staff. I don't think we ever asked you in the summer how you arrived at the decision to not bring in any assistance from the outside? It was just Lindy, and then obviously promoting Seth, but he was within the organization. How did you arrive at that decision?
Yeah, Lindy and I, you know, talked about that when we were going through the process. He asked a lot of questions about the staff and the roles. I gave him my honest feedback, and I asked him, I mean, you've been around a long time. You're one of the all-time longest tenured coaches. Like, if you have people that you want to be here, then let's talk about that. And Lindy was very, very adamant to, he wanted to get to know the current people, and, you know, we would talk back and forth, and we arrived with the staff that we have currently in place. And I think Lindy ultimately, if he didn't feel comfortable with the people in the room, and then they wouldn't be in the room, and we would talk about it. But we have an excellent coaching staff, and I think if you asked every one of the players in there, they'd say the same thing.
Last one.
There's a perception on the outside that ownership doesn't give you the resources that you need to win. I know that you've mentioned in the past what Terry and Kim have done for the city, but we're talking about today. And I look at your pro scouting staff, and it's smaller than a lot of teams in the league. I look at your development staff, and it hasn't grown since you guys have brought in basically 10 to 15 draft picks a year. And I'm just wondering, in what ways, other than player salaries, have you can you express that Terry has given you every ability to build a team that can win now instead of years from now?
Yeah, I mean, I understand why I get asked this every press conference. Terry has done everything he can to provide us every possible resource to win hockey games, and that's all I can ask for in my position. How many pro scouts we have or development staff we have versus what other teams have isn't really something I overly get concerned about. What we evaluate every, you know, at the end of every season is, where do we need to add? Do we have more that we need to put, resources we need to put in a certain area? Maybe it's analytics, so you turn the analytics staff into a little heavier. Maybe it's pro scouting, where we added one this past summer, player development. I mean, I think those guys are doing a phenomenal job. They're flying all over the world. We're getting coverage. I don't think I've had one agent since we kind of rebuilt the staff ever call me and say that one of our prospects wasn't getting attention or wasn't getting feedback, and they've done an incredible job representing organizations. So Terry's all in. I talk to him every day. He wants this as bad as any of us, trust me. And he wants to be part of the solution with me to talk about where do we need to find success, or what do we need to do to help this team. And that's I mean, I guess at the end of the day, that's all I can really say.
What's your reaction last night? Have you talked to Chris King, or do you plan to?
Yeah, oh, man. You're just setting me up on this one, because I don't – I guess the best part is I don't totally understand it, you know. Felt like one of those games where it was a two-goal swing, you know. Kinger's a former line mate of mine, so I guess I shouldn't need to talk to him this afternoon.